Dad from JoJo Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
It's time again to discuss the weird, weird, wacky and wonderful world in which we live. So, today's useless fact. A blob of toothpaste is called a nurdle.
A nurdle?
N-U-R-D-L-E, a nurdle.
Mm.
No one knows where it was invented or why.
Uh-huh.
But come on, let's ask the question, why? Does it need a special name for a blob of toothpaste?
Nurdle? No, I don't know why it's called a nurdle. I can't understand.
No, I mean, the closest word I can think of is hurdle, but it's not the same thing at all. No, it don't make a lot of sense. Nurdle.
Curdle.
Durdle. Maybe he meant to say durdle door and he said curdle. Mm. So, I don't know. Mm. Pass, but...
Do you do a line across your toothbrush? Or a little blob?
No, I'm against that sort of thing, but I just put a little pea-sized bit on my toothbrush.
So you nurdle. It does sound West Country.
It does sound a bit West Country, yeah.
I nurdle.
Or a bit Scandinavian or Benelux country or something. Nurdle, urdy-gurdy, yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, never heard of it, and not really bold if I hear it again, to be honest with you, if I could be perfectly honest. So, this week in the news... The world conker champion has been cleared of cheating after being found with a steel chestnut in his pocket. It was painted brown, obviously, but...
Steel chestnut. Okay. How bizarre.
How bizarre indeed.
Why would you... I mean, was he just happy to see people? Like, you know, he got his conkers out?
I don't know. He was 82 years old. So, I don't know.
What was his name?
David Jenkins. David Jakins, in fact.
Jenkins.
But he's known colloquially as King Conker.
I bet he is.
Yeah, not King Kong, but King Conqueror.
King David Conker.
So, he won the tournament in Southwick in Northamptonshire for the first time since 1977.
Oh, my God.
So, he's been going every year since then. It's taken him 47 years to win.
Yeah.
And then somebody was going to strip his title away from him until he... For some reason, cleared himself. I don't know how he did. I don't know how they found it in his pocket in the first place.
Mm.
Whether they have conker police for these events.
Yeah, special maybe. Conker police
or something.
Yeah.
But, I bet he's a happy chappy anyway. Bless him.
Well done for winning, Dave.
Yeah, well done, King Conker. number two in the news. A German mayor has banned cactus plants from all municipal buildings. All of them, basically.
Mm.
And it was after somebody had fallen onto a cactus of some sort and ended up in hospital. There's no other sort of rhyme or reason why he's actually banned it, but it's been banned, or all of them have been banned.
Oh, put it that way. Okay. Can we call him a little PR bleep, bleep, bleep?
I think the word prick's a nice word, isn't it? I think you'll find it in the Oxford Dictionary. I think it's in there.
Yeah, cacti. I mean... They're a weird-looking thing, aren't they? I mean, they're not pretty, you know?
I disagree. I think they've got a certain style to them, like nothing
they're
else.
They're fascinating. They're interesting. I'll give you that. But they're very much, no. They're all right for the toilet, the bathroom windowsill, I think, you know what I mean? Or the school reception has always got one on the windowsill.
Oh, all I can say is there must be a lot of hurt cacti out there after hearing that.
Where are they going to put them all? People going to have them in their gardens, lined up their garden paths or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Good luck, postman, that's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've got to take something out for mum and dad.
Yeah, don't feel this before we unwrap it. Don't sort of squeeze it to see what it is. So, third in the news, sadly, Jeff Capes has passed away yesterday.
He did, yeah. Oh, big Jeff.
World's Strongest Man twice, 1983 and 85.
I saw him pull an aeroplane. He put the old straps on over his shoulders. He walked to the front of a plane and he started walking down this runway. I was only little at the time. But yeah, you know, some dolly bird hanging out of the doorway, waving to the general public. It was for the Guinness World Book,
World Book of Records or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously it weren't Ryanair or EasyJet. They wouldn't sort of wave at anybody, would they?
No. This
must have been PA. But he'll be sadly missed, I think. I don't think anybody's got a bad word to say against him. And if they did, they wouldn't search his face. Let's be honest, he was 22 stone. Bit of a man mountain.
He was a gentle giant, though.
He was a gentle giant. Apparently, he used to be a copper back in the early days.
Okay.
And I think if he was on the beat, you probably wouldn't want to argue with him, would you?
No. Let's
be honest.
No.
Must have been quite imposing to people. So, but yeah, bless him. He'd be sadly missed.
Yeah.
Heart goes out to his friends and family. R.I.P. Jeff. So, question one this week, Jojo, to you. Is AI really taking over? Or how long will it be before it does?
Well, the answer to that is yes, and it's here now. Yes, I think we all have our profiles and conversations and pictures and everything we do now boosted wherever we are, what we do, what we eat, what we say, everything. There's something working in the background to record us or watch us, and all of that information is used in alien intelligence, you know, and AI is here to stay. Is it going to take over the world? Well, it will, you know.
Will it?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe not in our lifetime. I think we are fighting against the rebellion of it allowing to be overtaken, but come our grandchildren or great-grandchildren's lifetimes, you know what I mean, and or even their children's lifetimes, it will be part and parcel of their life, you know.
It's possible. It's a good theory, but it is just a theory, obviously.
Yeah. I think they'll just follow instructions, you know, make your way to work now when you get to work.
Yeah, I see that happening. I see that's a possibility. It seems to be that way already with, you know, things like airports and stuff. You know, you must be in this area. You can't stand in that area. And it's a bit RoboCop-like already.
Yeah.
And I remember once, I hadn't been to London for years because I was living up north. And I don't watch a lot of telly. And really, not that into mainstream media either. I prefer other sources of media. It's kind of around the time that the congestion charge had come in.
Right.
I'd heard about it. I knew about it, but I didn't know which part of London it was.
Yeah.
So I'd driven into London. I'd been up north, driven into London. Didn't go right into the centre because I knew it was kind of in the centre area.
Mm-hmm.
And got back home a couple of days later, got a fine through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I hadn't read the paper. I hadn't read the letter, the paperwork. And by the time I read it, it had gone up to some ridiculous amount, like over 100 quid. And I remember feeling penalised for not watching telly. Because I hadn't watched telly, and I didn't know which area it was in. There was no sign driving in to tell me it was there. I just got fined for it. And it is, again, sort of big brother, but you must do this. We're going to wave a stick at you. And if you step one foot out of line, you're going to be punished in this way or another.
I mean, it's not just the city now. I mean, ULEZ, as it's now known, is all of the whole entire inside of the M25. If your vehicle does not comply with ULEZ, you will be penalised for it, you know. So the whole emissions area and, you know, people with all those Land Rover Discoveries are now having to move to the suburbs again. So,
yeah, I mean, I can see both sides of it. Certainly from, I don't know, the fumes and pollution side of things, you can see why somebody living within the M25 really doesn't need a Land Cruiser that will go up dunes that are kind of 200 foot high, you know, that's 6 litres of guzzle. You know, you just don't need that. But sort of going back to technology, it is getting scary. And we are being told, I agree with you, Jojo, we're being told more and more, you must do this. If we tell you to jump, we need to say how high.
Well, even our vehicles, and you were saying about that, you know, all our electric vehicles now are all piloted. You know, you sit in a cockpit now and they're piloted by you and they talk to you. They tell you, put your foot on the brake, press start. They tell you.
It's really scary.
Please close the doors.
Yeah.
Your window is open.
Yeah.
Your boot is open. Your vehicle talks to you.
Yeah.
You know, you need assistance.
Yeah.
So.
Scary thing, guys. So I was on ChatGPT this week. GPT, should I say. first time that I've actually been on it properly, I was blown away. I was blown away by how good it is, if I'm honest with you. It's fantastic. You can just search for anything, ask a question about pretty much anything, and it comes up with the answer mm-hmm. to pretty much anything. But the worrying thing is, you know, knowledge is power, but mm-hmm. power in the wrong hands is dangerous. And you can literally, it seems, if you know how to do it, you can find anything out on ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And it worries me. It does.
Do you think Google and Facebook are going out of fashion? Someone made a comment yesterday about Facebook needing feeding and you're feeding a monster. And it's feeding a monster. All of the wrong information.
Yeah, I think they will have their day if they haven't already. I haven't really looked at the figures recently with Facebook to see if they've dropped at all or whether they continue to grow mm-hmm. or whether it's just levelled off. I don't know. Mm. Do you know?
Mm. I mean, I don't think they've shrunk in any way, shape or form, but I think people now have...
Maybe they have. It's hard to see.
I think people now have like two or three accounts. You know, they have a work account. They have possibly a charity account, or like us, they have a business account. And you have your individual profiles as well, you know. But Google doesn't seem to be operating in the same way as I remember it to. You know, I used to be able to search for a great white shark and find out every single bit of information about it. And
I think it's personally, I think it's heavily governed and restricted now.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that restriction comes down to who's willing to pay the most money to not let you see that thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you've got the big five supermarkets in the UK, for instance. They monopolise, some would say, in one way or another. I think a lot of it's the same on Google. You know, I don't necessarily think they're going to give you information about something that conflicts with their biggest sponsor, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So relying on it, I think it's starting to become a little bit unreliable. And we've got targeted ads now, haven't we? We've had them for the last few years, but they're getting worse. They know through your phone and your microphone what you're looking for, what you're not looking for. And those ads are really sort of coming for you now, trying to empty your bank account. So, yeah, doom and gloom, sorry guys, but not really. I mean, I think ChatGPT, for me, I'll be using it from now on to Google the general things.
Because
mm-hmm. I seem to get a much clearer answer that's not so focused at the moment to my eating habits or my hobbies and that sort of thing. It's not looking at me in that way at the moment. I could be wrong, but it certainly doesn't seem that way. So, yeah, scary time. We'll have to see what happens with AI.
Let us know, guys, if you use apps and software and, you know, even at work or even personally, let us know.
Yeah, and before we move on, actually, I will say, I think AI is going to be really, really good, if not already, and I'm sure it is, with finding cures for illnesses, diseases, cancer, that sort of thing. I think AI is the very beast that will help with those diseases, because it can take hundreds, if not thousands of years before we find cures to certain things. And I think with AI, the way it's growing exponentially, I think that can really speed that process up. So that's the positive side of it.
Well, yeah, but again, it depends on who wants to pay to not release that information.
Wow, there's a whole conspiracy theory there is, as we know, yeah, definitely. Okay, so question two to you, Jojo.
Okay.
What film
has
made a lasting impression on you?
Wow. There's a few films that are my favourites, I've got to be honest, for different reasons. Made a lasting impression on me. I suppose it's got to be someone that has female empowerment, and I suppose it's got to be someone like either Dolly Parton or Barbara Streisand. I really like the film Beaches. It was one of the first films that I think I found quite heartwarming and sad about maintaining a friendship and the other person not making it through, and Barbara Streisand ends up being playing part of a mum, if you like, and looking after her friend's little girl. But it's also about her rise to fame, you know what I mean? She believed in herself. She wasn't the prettiest of people. She wasn't slim or really gorgeous, you know. In a time when, you know, girls had to be a size six and you know, had to look a certain way, pretty hair and everything. She believed in herself and she made it.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a strong person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for me it's got to be the film Beaches. Very inspiring.
Okay. I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on that.
What about you?
A film called The Pianists.
Right.
It was set in World War II
mm-hmm.
in Nazi-occupated Poland.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Jews and how they were treated and how they, all the Jews had to wear an armband walking down the street, whereas anybody else that was there, the Germans and the rest of it, didn't have to. And then they had to walk on a certain side of the street, and then they were sort of captured and put into concentration camps. But it's the way the film's been produced. It's been produced in such a fantastic way, completely different to any other war film I've ever seen.
Mm.
And I think it's because it's also been made recently. And I say recently, within the last sort of 10 or so years, 15 maybe, I'll have to check. But it just... it's lasting because it kind of reinforces the cruelty that humans are still prepared to inflict on each other.
Mm.
And you think, bloody hell, if nothing else, it's a good lesson of how not to be. Because World War II, well, it wasn't 100 years ago, was it? It was 80 years ago.
Mm.
Not so long ago, all those people killing each other and the rest of it. And obviously we still have wars today, so I think we can all learn from that.
And terrorist attacks.
Yep. Yeah, and it seems to be no let up on these things, unfortunately. But we can only hope for the future. We can only hope.
Yeah.
So, on to something slightly different. Location frustration. We name a place. Well, we don't actually name it. That's your job. We give you three clues on the place, and you tell us where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use Google. Use your noodle. It's mm-hmm. just for fun. So, clue number one. This city was home to the world's first lit street. So first electric lit street.
Like street lamps.
Yeah, basically. Okay. And it was called Mosley Street. Clue number two. The world's largest half marathon takes place here.
Right.
It's got 57,000 runners. I think most people will know in the UK maybe where it is, but it's the Great North Run.
57,000 people. That's a phenomenal amount of people descending upon a city to run 13K.
Yeah, you think of the average football stadium. Well, some of the huge ones are like 50,000 or more, but, you know, kind of 30,000.
Mm.
That's a football stadium full of people running in the same race. That's incredible.
That is. Yeah.
And clue number three, the last clue. This city's ancient Roman name was... Pons Aelius, that's PONSAELIUS, Pons Aelius.
Right.
So let us know where it is, guys.
Yeah. Pons Aelius, there you go.
Pons Aelius, two separate words. And today's bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a bad joke, so yeah, don't go think it's too funny,
mm-hmm.
which is what I think makes it funny, to be honest.
Wow. I've got to say, it was donated by a work colleague, Jody. Thanks for this, Jody. It is a really, really bad joke.
It's really bad. So here we go. What do you call a magician without the magic?
Go on.
Ian. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, guys, that's it for this week.
Yeah. Well, you know where to find us on all of the socials, and like, comment and share. And even ask your Alexa speaker to say, play the Jackson JoJo show.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Adios.
Bye. The Jackson JoJo show.